One of the men who fought to bring Israel into being has died. Shimon Peres was 93. He served both as Israel's prime minister and president in a political career that spanned 7 decades. But it was as the Israeli foreign minister that Peres is best remembered. In that role, in 1993, he negotiated the Oslo Peace Accords, the first agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. Emily Harris has more.
Shimon Peres shared the 1994 Nobel Peace Prize for the secret talks in Oslo, Norway, that led to that first Israeli-Palestinian agreement.
It is amazing because, I mean, he was really very hawkish in the early 70s or after the 67 war.
Israeli Yossi Beilin was a central player in the secret peace talks. He was a close political associate of Peres for decades, including the years Peres supported settlements on Israeli-occupied land in the West Bank and opposed trading territory for peace with the Palestinians.
And he changed his mind on all these issues, on territorial compromise, on talking to the PLO, on a Palestinian state. He's not the only one, but he was more hawkish than others. Then he changed his mind and became the icon of peace.
Just before signing the Oslo Agreement on the White House lawn in 1993, Peres spoke of what he hoped would result from the historic accord.
Let us become a civic community. Let us bid once and for all farewell to wars, to threats, to human misery. Let us bid farewell to enmity. And may there be no more victims on either side.
But that was not to be. 7 years later, violence escalated into the second Palestinian uprising, or Intifada. Almost 1,000 Israelis were killed and three times that many Palestinians. Peres was foreign minister during part of the Intifada and a leader of Israel's Labor Party. Over the years, Peres suffered many political bruises, says Colette Avital, who worked closely with him in the foreign ministry.
He was the most hated man in Israel for many, many years. Nobody trusted him. Nobody liked him, except a few of us.
Peres was Israel's prime minister three times, including serving as acting prime minister. The first time he won the office, he led a difficult power-sharing government elected in 1984. That year, Israel's economy crashed. 12-month inflation rose to 450%. Avital says Peres did something never done before. He brought union leaders, major employers, and Bank of Israel officials to his office and got them to agree to wage cuts and price freezes.
He made at that time what was called a package deal, which stabilized completely the whole Israeli economy and brought down the inflation to 2 digits and then to 1 digit. I think he brought the same and he brings the same kind of talent to negotiations with the Palestinians because he will always find different ways and creative ways of getting people together.
Not all Palestinians remember Peres that way. Longtime Palestinian foreign affairs official Abdullah Abdullah recalls that when Peres was prime minister, the Israeli military killed more than 100 civilians taking shelter in a United Nations compound in Lebanon. It was close to where Hezbollah fighters were launching rockets at Israel. A UN inquiry concluded the strikes on the UN building were not accidental, a charge the U.S. and Israel vehemently rejected. Abdullah Abdullah never saw Peres as a man of peace.
He is like a makeup on an ugly face. He beautifies the crimes of Israel.
Early on, Peres played an instrumental role developing Israel's nuclear program. Toward the end of his career, he touted Israeli high tech. He turned 90 while still fully active as president. Yossi Beilin says in that role, Peres became an Israeli leader respected abroad and well-liked at home.
In a way, he became the father of the nation. Belatedly, he had been so controversial and suddenly became a consensus, which was really a prize that he deserved after all these years.
In his 1994 Nobel Prize acceptance speech, Peres said Israel aspires to live in peace with its neighbors. Almost 20 years later, at his 90th birthday party, he said the same thing. Emily Harris, NPR News.